Good morning. If you have your copy of God's Word, go ahead and turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, probably a text that you're pretty familiar with by this point in the summer. And as we start, I just want to say thank you to Pastor Stephen for the honor and the opportunity to just be here with you this morning. And if you haven't lately, make sure you take a moment and just say thank you to Pastor Stephen for all that he does week in and week out, just in the life of the church. He is an incredible man of God that loves the Lord, loves this church, and loves you. And so if you haven't said thank you in a while, make sure you see him today before you leave. As you're turning to 2 Peter chapter 1, I just want to go back over this passage, kind of give you a recap of the summer series so far and set up our focus for today. 2 Peter was written by Peter, just to clear that up as we get going, and he wrote this to the Jews and the Gentiles alike, the Big C church, the bride of Christ. And as he wrote this, he's calling believers to live righteously, even in the face of opposition. Even when it's difficult, what he's doing is calling the church to live a life that's pleasing to God, even when it's difficult in this world. He's calling them, he's calling us as believers, and encouraging us to look different than the world. That's something that we can all use this morning. That's something we all need to hear. And just as we get started, the Word of God was the Word of God then, it is now, and it will always be. And that means that it is always something that we need to listen to and apply to our lives. So as we get going, look with me at 2 Peter chapter 1, and we'll start in verse 3. We'll kind of just go a few verses at a time to kind of reestablish where we are in God's Word. In verse 3, it starts with this. His divine power, God's divine power, has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. This passage, this verse shows us that as believers, God has given us what we need. If we are followers of Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, God has given us what we need to live and to be obedient. He's not withholding anything that we need in our relationship with him, but the Holy Spirit produces these things that we'll read in verses 5, 6, and 7. The Holy Spirit produces them, but we are to practice them. So let's look ahead. This divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who's called us to his own glory and excellence, verse 4, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. As we get going this morning, let's just make sure we're all on the same page. Look at what God has done for us. Nothing that we've done, but God has made a way for us to know him. And through that, he's given us a way that we should live. If you look into the next few verses, this is what we've been going over this summer, this list in verses 5, 6, and 7. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement, to strengthen your faith with virtue, virtue with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with steadfastness, steadfastness with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. If you're a note taker, and I hope you are, just go ahead and star, underline, highlight, whatever your method is, self-control. That's our focus. That's our word for today. But just as a reminder, this list that we just went over is a list of what God gives us, and this is what we should display and develop as believers. We're learning through this series how to be stronger in our faith, and each week we're looking at a different part of this text. I hope that you personally have been taking notes. I hope that you've been maybe looking at things that are in this passage that you might need to work on. If you haven't found one yet, self-control is something I think we can all agree that we probably can use a little help in this regard. I mean, maybe this morning you just need to write down, I need to grow in, underline one of the things in verses 5, 6, and 7. Whatever it is, I hope as we've gone through this passage this summer that God is using it and speaking to you and growing you in your spiritual strength. Look at verse 8 and verse 9. For if these qualities are yours and they're increasing, They keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he's blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. This morning, church family, let's be reminded that if we are growing in these things as believers, we're going to live a life that is effective and fruitful, effective for the kingdom, effective in pointing other people to Jesus, and we're going to live a life that's marked by the fruit of following him. We can't do that apart from Jesus. This week, we're looking at self-control. So if you remember, Pastor Stephen kind of said the phrase, I've never heard this before, we're getting spiritually buff. You remember when he said that? That was never something that I learned in seminary, okay? But he's like, we're gonna get spiritually buff. I was like, okay. And then Pastor Jarrett brought some weights and he was like, we're gonna work out. And then like he told a couple of us after he did that, he maybe should have gone a little bit lighter on the weights because he was sore the next day. So just full disclosure, as we're looking at self-control this morning, this is kind of a spiritual leg day. Does that translate? It's a day that most people like to skip. You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever seen a bodybuilder that skips leg day? It's like really obvious, right? Some of y'all might be like, I don't do self-control and like you don't think we notice, but we notice, okay? Some of us got spiritual chicken legs, okay? And so this is what we're gonna look at this morning as we dive into God's word. What's the meaning of this? That we're called in all of the areas listed in verses 5, 6, and 7, we're called to grow in each of these areas, not just the ones that we like. Not just the ones that we feel like we're better at than others. Even if self-control is something that we're not naturally good at, it's something that we don't naturally like, God's called us even in that to follow him, to obey him, and to glorify him. This list is linked together and it's all important. Self-control, like the entire list, is an ability given by the Holy Spirit, but it's a responsibility for the believer to both use and develop. If you notice in the list, I like how like one thing kind of leads to the other. Self-control is between knowledge and steadfastness. And so I hope that as you've gone through this passage over and over this summer, that you've realized it's not just a knowledge about God. It's not just knowing about God. It's knowing God. But that should lead us to self-control, and self-control should lead us to steadfastness, being persevering people. People that are walking with the Lord to the end of our life so that we can hear, well done, good and faithful servant, when we get to stand before God in glory. But a lot of us know about God. A lot of us know God. And I would say most of us in this room want to be found steadfastness, but so many people miss that middle part of self-control. I'm not sure if you've learned self-control in your life yet. Maybe you served in the military and you had to learn it because you weren't going to get through if you didn't. Maybe you did martial arts or something like that, or maybe you're an athlete and you learned self-control that way. Much like many things in my life, the Lord has taught me self-control through my wife, and my wife has helped me to learn what it looks like to live a life of self-control. I don't know if you remember like the first couple months of your marriage. If you're married, you probably remember those first couple months, and I remember mine. We hadn't fought yet, and don't worry, we get to that point by the end of this story, okay? But we got married in early October, my wife Macy and I, and this was late November, early December, right after Thanksgiving. It was really one of the first weekends after we'd made it through the holidays where we decided to like, she was gonna go hang out with her friends and I was just gonna stay at our apartment and hang out. She was like, are you gonna be okay? And it was Saturday morning and college game day was about to be on. And I was like, I will find a way to make it, okay? And so my mom had just sent us the week before at Thanksgiving home with not a bag, but like a bag of cookies that she makes at home. Like the peanut butter cookies with like the chocolate kiss on the top. Can I get an amen from anybody? Like this is a spiritual thing for me, okay? And so she sends us with a bag of these home. She's like, y'all share these, okay? And we're like, yeah, got it. So my wife leaves to go hang out with her friends. I turn on college game day, sit on the couch with my cup of coffee, and we don't have any kids at this point, so I'm enjoying like every second of this, right? I dream about days like this now that we have little ones. It's okay. And so the game starts, and I go, man, I need a snack. I go straight to the freezer, which is where all good desserts are, by the way. Pull the cookies out of the freezer, open the bag, and start eating the cookies. The game gets to like a really good point, and I look down, and I'm about halfway done with the bag. Which is where I should stop, right? And you would think that's where I stopped. And you would be wrong. And I did exactly what you did before you get too high and mighty on me, okay? I took the bag and I looked at it from like this angle to where it looks more full than it is. And I'm like, there's some leeway in this. And so I push play on the game and start watching. It gets really good. And so I eat a couple more and the game ends and I look down and there's 3 cookies left in the bag. And I go, man, it would just be disrespectful to leave only 3 cookies for my wife. And so I just scarf down the cookies and I bury the bag at the bottom of the trash. I don't know if you've ever done this before, but this is my testimony, okay? I bury the bag at the bottom of the trash and I think 2 months married and all the wisdom that comes with that, she won't think about it. She won't notice, she'll forget, whatever. And she comes home and she's like, hi honey, where are those cookies? And I was like, I ate them. And she was like, yeah, but like, where's the rest? Because there's no way any normal person should eat that many cookies, right? And I was like, no, I ate them. And she looked at me dead in the face and she said, you have no self-control. And it cut me like a knife when she said that, but it's something that I've always remembered. Just for what it's worth, my mom now sends us home with small individual bags of cookies that are marked Macy and Emery, okay? My point, though, is that your self-control or lack thereof will have ripple effects in every area of your life. It affects you and it affects everyone around you. Now, make no mistake this morning, this is not a calling for you to try harder in your own strength, under your own power. This is for you to embrace the self-control that you're called to live by that's only available in and through the power of the Holy Spirit. We're gonna do a little bit of a word study as we get going this morning, but what we're not talking about, again, is this physical, earthly self-control. This is not a message about working out or trying to have an optimized schedule of your life. This is a spiritual self-control, like what it talks about in 1 Timothy 4:7-8. It says, rather train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Self-control, like in 2 Peter 1, in krateia, is in dominion. It's in mastery. It's in power to rule over yourself. This idea is holding oneself in, or the ability to take a grip of yourself. We're calling our message this morning, get a hold of yourself. Get a hold of yourself. And some of us, as believers this morning, we're not living out self-control, and God's calling us to get a hold of ourselves, to live in a way that's honoring to the Lord and that's displaying self-control, not in most of our life, but in every area of our life. This self-control proceeds out from within oneself, but not by oneself. For the believer, this is only possible by depending on the power of the indwelling Spirit. A lot of people call self-control the capstone, the final one on the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This last one listed, and self-control is a gift from God, and it's a marker of your salvation. A believer will have self-control. A pastor by the name of Wayne Barber said that we need to remember the definite article. I don't know if you walked in here wanting to learn about definite articles this morning, but he says the that's before each one of these godly characteristics in the Greek is important. He's saying before each godly characteristic, Peter is talking about the self-control, the very self-control and self-restraint that Jesus had, even as he himself was tempted as we all are. And yet he gives us access. God gives us access to that same self-control. I kind of like a working or real life definition of what things are sometimes. And so if you're looking for that this morning, self-control is God-fearing, Spirit-led obedience. God-fearing, Spirit-led obedience. It's not something that you do under your own power for your own benefit. This is because you have a reverence, a respect, and awe of who God is, and through the power of his Holy Spirit, you can live it out. God has given us as his creation, as the prize of his creation, abilities and desires that are purposeful. We are different from everything else. He's given us a desire for intimacy, for influence, to work, to rest, to learn, to grow, to provide and to protect. But with those abilities are a responsibility to use them for God's glory and for our good. There's a weight, there's a responsibility that comes with our desires. And Spirit-led self-control is what helps us to live a life that is for God's glory and for our own good. So this morning, what we're going to do is look at three areas of self-control that we need to know to get a hold of ourselves and to continue getting stronger in our faith. They're really simple. They all start with the same letter, so it's easy to remember, fast to write it down, okay? There's the don'ts, the do's, and the desires, okay? The don'ts, the do's, and the desires. I almost said the don'ts, the do's, and the want to's, but I figured that was too much of a reach for that. So the don'ts, these are things that God has called us to avoid, to get away from sin in our life that is not glorifying to him. But the do's are the things that through self-control, we might not want to do on our own, but God calls us to do them. But it all boils down to the desire, the position of our heart. If you're writing things down this morning, as you write down the don'ts, write this down next to it: starving the flesh. Living a life of self-control means starving the flesh, killing sin, doing whatever it takes to put what God has saved you from behind you so that you can walk forward with him and toward him. In 2 Peter 1, those first, the third and the fourth verses, it ends with this: having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Do you remember what God saved you from? Do you remember the life that you used to live? Why do we run back to it? Why do we settle for less? And God loves us so much that he's given us this ability through his Holy Spirit to live a life of self-control, and he calls us not to run back to the things that he has saved us from. We have to acknowledge this morning as people, as sinful human beings, that we mess things up, that we are prone to wander. We are fast to go back to our sinful ways, that we in our flesh are tempted to do things that simply are not pleasing to God. We have to remove that which causes us to, like Peter says, be ineffective or unfruitful from our lives so that we can live in a way that's honoring to the Lord and points other people to him. God's given us desires as his people, but how do you respond to that? How do you live a life it's honoring to the Lord in the midst of those desires? God's given many people a desire for intimacy, to be known. That actually in the context of 2 Peter chapter 1, when it says self-control, this word is specifically in regards to yourself sexually. And so are you living a life of self-control in your sexual life? Are you living a life that's honoring to God by that sexual world being in the confines and the blessing of a marriage relationship, or is it outside of that? Are you in and around pornography all the time because you're not doing things the way that God designed, in a way that he called you to live, in a way that's honoring to him and pointing other people to him? That's a heavy thing, but we have to know that that's what Peter's talking about mostly. Self-control is for all of our life, but it's certainly in this, and this causes so many believers to miss what God's called them to, the life that God has called them to live. Maybe that's not it for you, but just so you know, God speaks of our sexual purity all throughout Scripture. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God." 1 Corinthians 6 says, flee, run, get away from sexual immorality. The will of God for your life is sanctification, looking more like Jesus. It's not for our momentary sexual pleasure. God calls us to abstain, to run from this. Maybe that's not something that you struggle with, but maybe you have a God-given desire for justice, to see right done to the people around you. But do you get angry and sin when things are not done how you want them to be done? I mean, we can be angry. Our hearts should break for the people around us. It should make us feel something when things don't go well for the people that we love around us. But how do you respond? Psalm chapter 4 says, "Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent." Proverbs 29 It says, a fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. How are you living in response to your surroundings? You have a God-given desire, many of you in this room, for community. God's called us to it, for biblical community, to have people that know your life and you know theirs. But how do you fulfill that? Many people will try to do that by gossiping, talking about other people behind their back, demeaning others instead of loving those around us. God's word says in Ephesians chapter 4, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Proverbs 26 says, for lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases. Self-control is fighting and fleeing from all sorts of sin. Maybe those three things that we just talked about don't resonate with you, but there's a list in 2 Timothy 3, 2 through 5 that's a lot longer than this, and you'll see right in the middle of this long list that'll be on the screen in the top right, one of the main markers of a people that don't walk with the Lord is that they lack self-control. Lovers of self, lovers of money, people that are proud, arrogant, the list goes on. Maybe there's something in there that you see that maybe you identify a little bit too much with, and God's calling you through the self-control provided through his Holy Spirit to get a hold of yourself, to get a hold of your life, and to walk away from this list of don'ts, because you love Jesus and he loves you, so that you can honor him. Self-control allows you to avoid being under the influence of any of these things and more, so that you can continue walking in the influence of the Spirit. But walking with the Lord is not just abstaining from sin, it's walking with the Lord. This list of do's, the do's. This is feeding the Spirit. It's not just starving the flesh, it's not just killing sin, but it's feeding the Spirit. In 2 Peter 1, verse 5, it says, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement, to strengthen your faith. Feeding the Spirit is not just refraining from sin. Self-control is about growing in godliness and looking more like Jesus. It's not about moral superiority. I don't know if I have to remind you of this morning, but Satan is gunning for you, believer. Satan wants to wreck your life and ruin your impact on the people around you as a follower of Jesus. Are you walking so closely with Jesus that there's no room for anything else to get in between you and him? Or does that gap need to shrink a little bit? How closely are you walking with him? We are called to a relentless pursuit of holiness. I've told many of you before that I grew up in Beaumont, which is not part of Houston. I understand that, okay? So I learned to read when I got to college, but I got to play football in high school, and I loved it, okay? We had some great coaches there. And my freshman year of high school, there's kind of this rite of passage that many of you know about. When the varsity team makes a playoff run, the freshman team gets moved up to practice with them so that we can be living, breathing practice dummies. You know what I'm talking about? They like throw the little dummies to the side, and they're like, you stand in front of the guy that's 18 years old and can just run you over, okay? And so this was my time in life to like grow up and figure this out. We had an incredible varsity team this year that I had nothing to do with, but I got to stand before them and get thrown on the ground every play. We had a running back whose name was Christine Michael. His mom wanted a girl, and she got the number one running back in the state of Texas. Don't know how that worked out, but pretty cool. He went on to play at a little school up the road called Texas A&M. Don't know if every time. And then he went and won a Super Bowl with the Seahawks. I mean, the guy was incredible. So I made it my goal every practice on defense to try to tackle this guy. And about three plays into it, you know where this is going. I really realized I came to a moment where I was like, this is unrealistic for me. It's not gonna happen. So I changed my goal, like, let me just reach him. And so I can tell the guys in the locker room, I could have got him if I wanted to. You know what I mean? And so one day we're practicing, and the varsity starts taking it easier on us. I mean, like, they're scoring every play. And so our offensive line coach, his name was Joseph Bowser, and he like looked like an O-line coach. You know what I'm talking about? Strength and conditioning, all that. And he goes over there and grabs the varsity and says, I want you to play to the whistle. Y'all are taking it easy on these little freshmen. Play to the whistle like you would in a game. And they're kind of listening, and he speaks to them in a language that they can understand, and he says, if you don't play to the whistle, I'm gonna run you after practice. And their eyes lit up, and they got it. And we didn't hear anything, so we don't know what's going on. And so I line up, try to tackle the guy, and he's gone, as is usual, and there's kind of this dog pile of people here, and I stand straight up, no whistle. And one guy on the varsity team heard what coach said. He was the center offensive lineman named Daquan Bennett, who is a nationally ranked power lifter. And he came running at a full sprint and he like ear-holed me, like hit me in the helmet as hard as he could running at a full sprint. I go flying over, I'm like parallel with the ground, you know what I'm talking about? Land on the ground, he hit me in my head, but it knocked the wind out of me. I don't know what continent that I'm on when I look up from this, and my offensive line coach is standing right over me, and he said, "Emery, I said play to the whistle. That was for you too." Church family, this morning, let me remind you this, that we are called to play to the whistle, that there is never a break in our call to holiness. There is never a moment in which we should ease off the gas of walking with Jesus and looking more like him and pursuing holiness. That is what we are called to. Self-control is not just about the don'ts. It's about the do of walking with the Lord and growing to look more like him. God gives us warning after warning of the importance of walking with him and being aware of the sin around us. In 1 Peter chapter 5, it says, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour." 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, "So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober." Jesus says in Luke chapter 9, and he said to everyone, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Every day till God calls you home to the whistle, we are called to a relentless pursuit of holiness. God has promised that he will supply to the believer this self-control, but are you taking hold of it? Are you taking this seriously? Are you walking with the Lord? Are you playing to the whistle? When you want to sleep, do you get up and spend time with Jesus? In college, someone told me something that changed my life, that you need 15 minutes with Jesus way more than you need 15 more minutes of sleep. And let's be honest, the beauty rest ain't working for everybody in this room anyway, so let's look more like Jesus, okay? Like, what are you spending your time on? Are you memorizing funny lines from a show or a movie, or are you spending time memorizing God's word so that even if your Bible's not there, it's written on your heart? Are we putting the armor of God on every morning when we wake up, or are we putting on the appearances of the world? There's the don'ts, the things that God warns us about because he loves us so much that he doesn't want us to run back to those things. But there's the do's, the holiness that God calls us to each and every day to run after until God calls us home. But none of this makes sense if the desires of your heart have not been changed by the living God. Do you have the Holy Spirit in your life? Has God saved you and changed you and redeemed you and made you new? The desires of your heart, like what it says in 2 Peter 1, look at verses 8-9. "For if these qualities," the list of things that we've been going over this summer, "if these qualities are yours and they're increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he's blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins." Does that sound like you this morning? Maybe you've forgotten all that God's done for you. Maybe you've forgotten the moment of your salvation, the joy of your salvation. Maybe you've forgotten the things that God has saved you from. And self-control has been out the window for a long time. And maybe God, through the love and the power of his Holy Spirit, is getting a hold of you this morning. How will you respond? Maybe you don't know anything about self-control like what we're talking about this morning because you've never given your life to Jesus. And I'll tell you this, you won't desire the things of God without being made new by God. You won't desire what God wants unless he's changed your life. Do you long for what God wants, or do you long for what you want? I think especially the men in the room would so often say they would die for something, but self-control is the marker of someone who lives for Jesus. Their heart is more for Jesus than it is for themselves. And so they get a hold of their life because through the power of the Holy Spirit, they love what God loves. This is the last thing I'll leave you with this morning. A new self has a new self-control. A new self has a new self-control. So I'll ask you, have you been made new? It's a yes or a no. There's a moment, there's a time, there's a decision for everyone to make. Are you gonna put your faith, your trust in Jesus? Are you gonna surrender your life? Are you gonna surrender what you want and be all in with the Jesus that loved you so much that he came to this earth in the form of a baby, lived a perfect life, never sinning, went to a cross freely, voluntarily for me and for you. And then after he died, he was resurrected 3 days later, and we can follow him in life. We can be made right before God because of what Jesus has done. And through that, we are given the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we get a life of self-control that comes from that. Does that look like your life, or are you just trying to imitate? Or do you want nothing to do with it, but maybe God's knocking on the door of your heart today? You cannot be obedient to a God that you have not surrendered to. So do you need to get a hold of your life? Is self-control something that you need to learn about? It's only through surrendering your life to Jesus, being made new by him, and living a life that's marked by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. As you close your eyes and you bow your head, and we're going to continue in a time of worship, I just want you to think about that. There's a list of do's, there's a list of don'ts that God's given us because he loves us. And he's given us the ability through self-control that his Holy Spirit provides to live a life that's honoring to him, that points other people to him. But if you don't know Jesus, none of this makes sense. If you don't know Jesus, the desires of your heart have not been changed. And so maybe this morning, God's knocking on the door of your heart and calling you to him, calling to surrender. Maybe you've been a believer for a long time, but you've taken your eye off of him. You're not playing to the whistle anymore. And self-control's been out the window for a long time, and God's calling you back to him because he loves you, because he cares for you, because he knows what's best for your life. Maybe you need to respond to that. We're gonna have ministers down here at the front that want to talk to you, that are here to talk to you. If you need to surrender your life to Jesus, they're here for that. If you need somebody to pray with you, they are here for that. Don't leave here this morning without talking to someone about what God is doing in your life. So Heavenly Father, we love you, and God, we give you this morning, we give you the praise, the glory, the honor that you're due. And God, I pray that as we leave here today, we would look more like you, that we would love you more as a result of your word. God, I pray that we would live lives of self-control that point people to you, that it's not just us in our own power trying hard, but it's through the Holy Spirit that you've given us that we can walk with you and live a life that's totally different than the world around us. So God, we give you this time, and we just want to say we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thanks so much for watching. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged. At Champion Forest, we focus on advancing the kingdom of God by making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. We are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God and growing in their relationship with him. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. Of course, we can't wait to welcome you in person at one of our locations in the near future. For campus-specific times and details, just visit our website at championforest.org. We'll see you very soon.